It's kind of nice being the least nerdy person in a group of people again.
Yes, well.
Oh, you were serious.
Podcasts, the final frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
With XV.
I'm the captain. Let's go.
Hey, Mickey.
I might have incorrect facts, but I never have incorrect opinions.
Ken.
Ah!
And Fort Max.
What does God need with a spaceship?
This week is that one episode of Star Trek, the Motionless
the Pod,
the Motionless Podcast. Damn you!
I want to talk over you. It's the most fun part of the podcast to ruin your opening.
Okay, fair point. But it's that one episode of Star Trek, the Motionless Podcast, Vine Ripened Vulcans, because I remembered.
What now?
Yeah, Vine Ripened Vulcans. You got to make sure when they get a dark enough complexion, then they're ripe. You got to buck them on the head.
That's right.
What the hell?
You missed last week, Ken.
Yeah, this is what happens when you don't listen to the podcast.
I've been drugged up for half the last week, so I just...
Good. Then it would have made sense.
It probably would have been, actually.
Ken.
Yes.
Ear
yes.
teeth.
Yes.
Did you install your ear teeth in a cyborg like we told you to?
Oh, God.
Also, turn your fan off.
No.
Then turn your fan.
Turn your fan. Yes, I did that.
Oh, right. Like this podcast has any fans.
Well, we've kind of turned them away.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say on, but I wouldn't have believed you.
No.
It's been an interesting experiment to see which is more popular, Japanese TV shows or Star Trek.
I have no numbers to share with you, so...
Yeah, I don't really think it's the media we're talking about. It might be us.
It probably is.
Yeah, it's more likely.
Now, from response we've gotten from people who do listen, you know, adjusting over to Star Trek has been kind of a struggle.
So your mom just told you that, huh?
Yeah. She's pretty honest with me, I mean. You
That's
know.
Good.
Well, to be fair, it was a struggle for us to stay with Toku, so...
Yes, for some time.
Yeah, but we had a very illuminating conversation last week about...
Which went up as a podcast, by the way.
Yeah, which I listened to, and it was very good, even though, I felt very educated.
You felt very learned. Educated listening to the conversation you were a part of.
what was this conversation exactly?
It's a podcast, Ken. You can go listen to it.
You shouldn't, but you can.
Well, that's generally the warning we give for all the stuff we produce. You shouldn't listen to this, but it's there if you want to.
It's a free right. country. Do what you want. Care.
But not when Hey Mickey takes control, because then he'll force people to listen to it.
Yeah, he's that hateful.
I'm hate-filled.
Right,
like
you're hateful.
Donut.
Yeah.
You're a hate-filled donut. You just bite down and the yellow comes squeezing out.
It's about 82 AU wide.
No, that's your mom.
Bwom. Bwom.
Can you insert the Inception noise there?
Yes, please. Bwom.
Okay, every time you do it, it just makes more work.
Oh, Robert Wise. You know he was in the director's chair going, we need more bwom. Yeah, right here. Another one. Sound guy. Another one. Now!
Someone should go through and, like, replace all of them with Wilhelms.
Make it more entertaining.
Yeah, what a fart noise. I mean, if we want to take this juvenile, just make it a nice long.
I mean, you can replace it with like a low deep fart and not really lose much of the quality either.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, just turn down the gain, you know, make it real staticky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on board.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as I was watching the motion picture over the weekend in preparation for this, I kept thinking, you know, I could take this and probably recut it into something that almost works.
Yeah.
But it would be about 15 minutes long.
No, I think it would actually turn out to be about 45 to 50 minutes long, making it, you know, a perfect length for an episode of a TV episode at that point in history when you didn't have 17 minutes of commercials per hour of television, if you're lucky.
Commercials. I'm trying to remember what those were like. I haven't had cable in years.
You're a smart man.
Yeah, that's what my mommy tells me.
It's not like you're missing anything the internet can't give you anyway.
That's true.
In the interest of getting this show on the road, because otherwise we'll be here all night.
Yeah.
God, please.
I first realized this movie was going to be shit when I first hit play.
And there was a two-minute overture?
Oh, no, the music is fantastic.
Yes,
they did a smart move of recycling that music as often as possible. But the credit roll themselves... looks shittier than the TV series credits.
Yeah, it's just white text on a black background.
Yeah,
and then it gets to the part that says "Story by Alan Dean Foster," and I'm like, "Oh shit!"
Yep.
Now, would you have preferred it if Roddenberry had gotten his credit there instead?
Well, that would have at least not immediately told me don't expect much.
Ah.
Oh.
I mean, Alan Dean Foster is the dude that writes novelizations of movies.
Yes.
Does he?
Yes, he is. He wrote the first Star Wars Expanded Universe novel as well.
And you know, if you just sit down and think about it for a minute, this movie is a lot like a movie made based on the novelization of a movie.
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, no, I'm dizzy.
we just had a whole hour talking about time paradoxes, so don't worry.
Oh, those I can handle.
We kind of did, except at the end we kind of made it so that didn't happen. And...
Oh, so you used like a Crinum temporal device then? Okay.
No, the show just stopped.
Chronotons.
Caring, so
anti-chronotons.
yes. Yeah.
Look, you can't even blame Voyager for that because all good things introduced anti-time.
I think the thing that got me, that really just. Put everything to a screeching halt. I mean, was in the movies comes to a screeching halt for about 7 minutes or so, just to enter the Enterprise.
Enter the Enterprise.
That's dull for us now, but at the time that made sense. We'll get to that though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so
as we talk about a movie that really wants to be 2001.
Okay, so in the interest of brevity and being interesting, Mickey, I would like you to take lead on this.
All right. Let's get this shit going. Look, there's Klingons, and they're flying through a big blue fart in space. Let's blow them up.
I must say, the Klingon ships do look fucking cool, though.
The
models and everything is are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
They're very nice models. It's a shame the compositing skills are so turd-awful.
Oh, you don't like the Borderlands kind of black border around everything?
It's 1979.
The thing is, Ken, in the TV series... when you had multiple items composited on one shot, which occasionally happened, I mean, it wasn't a regular thing, but it did happen, it was not this obvious.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I've watched the not remastered version of the TV series, the original series, so...
I don't have that
in my memory. What's that? Yeah, that's true, and Star Wars looked a lot better.
Yeah, well, you know, ILM.
And this is... Now, who did the effects for the motion picture?
Hell if I know. I was asleep by the time the credits ran.
Probably Shatner.
I don't know. They use these.
I've got to go to Hobby Lobby. I'll be right back.
So,
Miss, could you hand me 17
ILM
popsicle
didn't
sticks?
Come on board until Wrath of Khan, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because A New Hope's really where they got their started, so they hadn't really dug their heels into Hollywood the same way that they are now, where they do everything.
Mm-hmm. Plus, they may have been busy with Empire Strikes Back, because this movie came out in 80.
Is 80 or 79?
79.
Because Netflix says 79.
It's 79.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that ILM wasn't busy with Empire.
That's true.
Yeah, no, they probably were busy with Empire.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So I want to point out that,
Federation...
No, I just want to point out first that you can tell this is the first time there was advanced Klingon makeup, because all the forehead ridges are identical. Like, this is before anybody had the idea that, why don't we make these, fingerprints?
Yeah.
Noses.
And they do look a little bit like the underside of a scrotum, too. They have that seam.
Yeah?
They're on screen for so little time, I don't even notice that. None of that. They're just kind of there, and then they're dead.
Is this the first time we get the sort of the modern Klingon costume, or did they have that in the original series at some point?
No, this is this was a turnaround for Klingons. Yes. In portrayal in general, like spoken language, uniform design, makeup style, and even the way the ships looked.
Yep.
This so basically a complete reboot here.
Pretty much. This basically built what the Klingons were for everything going forward.
Yeah.
I wonder why they chose to do that.
Because
they actually had budget for it.
Yeah, there was money and there was time to do it. Like, the story goes that Roddenberry originally had this grand idea of what the Klingons should be and look like, but when it came down to television production schedules and budgeting, none of it could actually happen.
Ah, okay. So this is the original vision, not the compromised vision.
Supposedly, I think there's a bit of George Lucas in it too, where as he's talking about it years later, they were always meant to look like that. That's always the vision I had. And I'm sure it is something he wanted there to be more makeup to them and not just have them look like brown-skinned Chinese men.
So Mongols.
Okay.
No, Mongols.
Yes,
like
basically.
Mongolia. Yeah. Mongoloids. I'm not that crass.
No, but I'm sure he wanted them to be more than they were in the TV show, but I don't really believe that this specifically is what he always had in mind for them.
So here's a question. So the Klingons get nuked. All that kind of happens. They get all sparklified with electricity. And then we eventually get to the point where we see Vulcan.
Yeah.
My question is, this version that's on Netflix that we're watching, is it like the super cool remastered version where they redid a bunch of the effects? Or is this like the original that's all weird looking? Because I can't tell the difference without seeing them side by side.
Okay, the motion picture was never remastered for HD the same way that Wrath of Khan was.
Mm-hmm.
But before the whole HD boom hit, it was remastered regularly.
For DVD.
Yeah, for DVD. Okay. And then they made a big deal about it at the time.
And then there's also separately a director's cut. That has
the director's cut, the new effects and stuff were rendered all in standard def.
Okay.
Because that's what it was going to be released on in the first place.
Gotcha.
Right, but there's a director's cut that has different effects and some scene compositions changed, but it's still not like a remastering thing in the way you're thinking of.
Right.
Yeah, it's not
it was never re-scanned and re-rendered.
Right.
Well, it was rescanned. Well, on all,
well, yeah,
all
okay,
the
yeah,
effects,
yeah.
This is a movie. All the effects were put onto film.
Yeah.
But does that or does not explain the fact that Spock looks like Prince Valiant?
Look, it was not logical for him to cut his hair at that time.
My goodness.
Before we arrive on Planet Houses of the Holy, we get a shot of a Federation space station that somehow is tapped into the Klingons' closed-circuit TV and watches them die.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our first glimpse at a bigger, more alive Starfleet.
Yeah.
Windows and people floating around in space. And at the time, I bet that shit was really fun to see.
Yeah, because Starfleet didn't really exist. It was just the Enterprise and maybe one other ship full of crazy people that we get to see.
And I think two times a starbase.
Yeah. Well, and most of the time, wasn't that other ship the Enterprise as well?
Yes.
Yes. Just the numbers moved around.
Or the ship filmed from such an angle that you didn't see the numbers.
Right.
And also, there's never any human interaction or anything going on with the Enterprise. I mean, it had some lights on it that was supposed to be windows, but there's no...
Right.
There's no sense of scale. There's no sense of integration with the people. I mean, they could have been, like, entirely outside of the Enterprise, basically.
Yeah. Right.
So this is the first time people have been seeing that these are structures that humans really do occupy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Starfleet's actually out there doing things. It's a whole civilization. It's a whole society. It's not just one ship, you know, in deep space by itself.
Scene broadens the scope of Star Trek significantly.
Mm-hmm. And it also does that in a different way, too, where you actually get to see Earth in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that was a first thing for this, too.
Yeah, it was.
The Klingons. I love the fact there's a big cloud. Shoot it. We don't have anything to aim at. Don't care. Lob torpedoes at it. Okay.
What do you mean you don't have anything to aim at? It's like 80 AU wide.
Right. Nope. Just firing into just the cloud.
It's like almost a light year across. How can you miss?
Yeah, because 82 AU, that's an astronomical unit, which is the distance between the Earth and the Sun. And so 82 of them is like the distance between the Sun and like Uranus, I mean, or Neptune. It is just, it's the size of the friggin' solar system.
It's pretty big. Well,
they built them bigger back then.
Yeah.
So Spock is on Planet Heavy Metal album cover.
Prince Valiant.
Mm-hmm. And he showed up here to finally shit out all that awful emotion he's been having stuffed up his colon all these years. And right before he gets his merit badge for least emotions.
He's been there for 2 years taking a logical enema.
Like some kind of butter dripping behind him, poor guy.
But right before he gets his merit badge, he has a flash of emotion. And Vulcan bitch is like, no. And she drops his medallion and just walks away from him. Get off my planet.
So if she had a mic, it would have been dropped.
Yes.
This is after she almost pokes him in the eye with her huge fingernails.
Yeah, I just really love that, you know, I have no emotions, but, you know, I'm going to just totally diss you by dropping your shit here on the ground. Because what you're doing is disgusting, and I'm offended.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Vulcans.
Yeah.
They've always been kind of space dicks, haven't they?
Well, they're elves.
Space elves. Oh, we have a dwarf lover amongst us? Is that what it is? I'd be like halflings, too, don't you?
Yeah, Ken.
What?
You're being too quiet.
There's really not that much to discuss.
But this is Star Trek the Motion Picture. There's so much going on.
No, there's not.
There is. It's just after like 40 minutes of buildup.
You mean like after an hour and 40 minutes, right?
No, like after 40 minutes, the actual movie starts.
Could have fooled me.
So what's going on Earth? Well, Kirk's getting off the subway, and he's talking to Not Spock, saying, "I'll see you on board the Enterprise later."
Because he needed a Vulcan. Kind of
but you're an admiral. I'll see you up there later. Let us know that Kirk's about to do something shitty.
So I like the whole like lean of this conversation too, where Kirk is just this huge racist, and he's like, "I have to have a Vulcan science officer. Only a Vulcan will do."
That's affirmative action.
Sure it is.
He's just trying to replace.
Well, it's more that he wants Spock.
Yeah.
Jess won't admit it.
That not well, and Spock Jess seemed it to mighty sassy.
That it's Spock he wants.
He was, but we won't have to worry about him.
Yeah, not Spock's little eyebrow raise at the "no, you didn't" kind of thing. That was a little much. Oh,
Well, you know, he's a full-blooded Vulcan, so it's more pronounced.
Yeah.
All right, so Kirk beams up to the docking station or whatever, shipyard, I don't know.
Right.
And he's immediately greeted by Scotty, who has put on about 70 years.
No years.
Okay. It's all the drinking.
It's the mustache, really.
Yeah.
So when did the original series end?
69.
Damn, no, thank you. He aged hard in 10 years.
And here's the thing. The bridge set had been collecting dust since, like, 70. When was Phase 2 being worked on?
Like, 3 or 4 years before this?
Yeah. So several of those sets had just been collecting dust for 3 years.
Okay, so the uniforms. So I think Kirk's looks okay with the white pattern and everything.
Yeah.
Kirk's
uniform looks great. Everybody else?
If they would have taken that pattern and used that for the standard uniform.
Maybe put some color into it.
Well, this is the thought I had. If someone would go through and just sort of digitally George Lucas edit the colors in these uniforms to match the colors of the original series.
Yeah.
Or at least match the saturation level.
Yeah. Everything is 270s. This is some Battlestar Galactica costume design they've got going on.
Yes. Because Scotty looks like he's going to a sleepover.
He's a little booties on.
Yes.
And everybody has their little power morphers, too.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the hell those are even supposed to be for, because they don't ever do
those
anything.
Those are the waste removal transporters, so I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Besides Kirk's admiral
uniform, sonic eliminator.
There's only one costuming bit in this movie I like, but we'll get to that.
All right. So,
was it the bathrobe? Like, you know, an hour and a half later.
No.
Oh.
So Kirk is filling Scotty in on his plan to take over the Enterprise because there's monsters coming.
And they chuckle it up too. They laugh about it.
Yeah.
It's like, your captain's not. The captain's not going to like that. Ha ha ha! Screw him.
I'm sorry for Decker. Nobody likes him, but he doesn't really do anything to them.
And another, look, in this scene, they're sitting there talking, and you see that Kirk's got a cool uniform. His badge is actually a badge that's pinned onto him. Scotty's is just an embroidered stitched thing onto his uniform. It's not even real. He doesn't have a badge.
Yeah.
No, seriously, if they would have, if Kirk's uniform had been the pattern for all the other uniforms, it would have been an actual credible, like, midpoint development between that and the Wrath of Khan uniforms.
Which are great.
Or even, like, TNG if you do the colors right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just thinking, like, in terms of how the uniforms have evolved through that period of time, like, Kirk's admiral uniform is almost a credible mid-step between those things.
I wonder how many of these were made for Phase 2 as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
So, collecting
dust.
They
had a lot of extras in that one scene, though, so.
Oh, man. But, I gotta say, Enterprise looks gorgeous.
Yes,
this
as
scene,
we get to see for the 8-minute interlude.
But I mean, I understand why they did that, though, because, like, they completely redesigned it, and they had the time and budget.
I get that, but it's a little,
it completely ruins the pace of everything, but I understand why, from a presentation standpoint.
I understand why. It's also just a little up its own ass.
It is.
I am not denying
that in any way.
No, it's total fan service.
It's been 10 years since you've seen the Enterprise. We got an amazing ship that actually looks like something. We're going to show you every square inch of it.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, from my dad, watching it in the theaters, being a Trek fan, not being starred for it for 10 years, this was like an orgasmic moment.
I just think they could have.
The problem is that now it's not.
Yeah,
well, in fairness, so were you, Hey Mickey, for him.
They could have done all that in 4 minutes.
Or less.
Less.
It's excessive.
Oh, I love it.
Like, it's very much a thing that requires the time it existed in to work the way it was intended, and
at the time, I can imagine so.
Yeah, it's not that time anymore, and all the complaints are also completely valid.
Like episode 1.
Yeah.
Was that even good in the time it existed?
No.
We all pretended that it was.
Yeah, we did. At the time, I'm like, oh my God, that was the greatest thing ever. Then,
thing when Grandma farts at the table at Thanksgiving. We all know what happened. We all glance at each other, but no one mentions it, and we act like it was a pleasant dinner.
If my grandmother had done that, she would have started laughing. Everybody else would have started laughing. It actually would have been an amazing moment.
Oh, you sound like you have a healthy family life then.
But then my grandmother died and the whole rest of the family hates each other, so no one talks to each other anymore.
Think you'll cut off Ken one more time. He might actually shoot you.
No, I'm done. Forget it.
So, Ken, what about your experience farting at Thanksgiving?
I'm done. Go on.
You're done farting at Thanksgiving then. Okay.
Yes,
so we've done alienating our listeners, and we're going to alienate the other hosts.
You haven't been around very long, have you?
He's the one who knew what he was getting into when he joined up.
I got suckered.
All right, so they're shuttle docks for the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah.
And Scotty, get your ass to engineering. We need the ship working. Kirk, if you'll come with me, he's like, fuck off, Ensign. I know where I'm going.
Now, to be fair, the elevator was, 5 feet away, so it's not like he really needed an escort to go to the bridge.
True, but it was the cocky way he said it. It's like, no, that's okay. I know where I'm going. I've been here before.
Look, this is my ship.
I know where I'm going.
And that really just sets the pattern for Kirk's behavior through the entire movie.
So what is weird with the film in this? Because there's these scenes where, there are two people in focus, but everything else is out of focus, and it's weird as hell looking. Also, Uhura is stacked.
Now, see, what I noticed about Uhura is that, wow, she is 70s as hell in this.
Oh, but man, she is, she's filling up that uniform really well.
Well, then.
Hey, different priorities, nothing wrong with that.
There's room for different opinions here.
No, there's not. I know you haven't been here that long, but no, there's not.
As long as they agree with Hey Mickey's, I get it.
That's pretty much the whole direction of the podcast. As long as we agree with Hey Mickey's opinion, everything's fine.
Oh, so we do get to see engineering, and we get to see a vertical warp core.
Which, this is the same warp core they use for Voyager, right?
Well, it's not the same piece, but it's the same effect generated in it. Which... Cool. I always disliked in Voyager because it doesn't look like anything's happening.
Well, that's Voyager for you.
Well, yes, and it's also this movie for you. So, thematically, I get the connection. I always thought that was something that Next Generation did really right by having the track lights in the warp core. Yeah. So it actually seemed like something was happening, something was working.
There's motion. You can see energy moving through it rather than just sort of milling about.
Yeah.
Being lazy and shiftless.
Mm-hmm.
On the bridge, there's an alien that looks remarkably like Bronson Pinchot with a large forehead.
So Bronson Pinchot. Hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's here hiding in the
lens. That weird Vaseline effect on the lens, that is absolutely baffling.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels to me like in post, they're like, you know what? We need more depth of field here than what we shot. Smear it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
The whole background? No, just the stuff around their face, but leave the other characters in focus, because that makes sense.
By decreasing by widening the aperture, you can do that when you're shooting. But in this case, they would have just had to, smear the film around where they wanted it to be sharp. No, it's like, the director of photography, while this was being shot, had one idea of what this should look like, and then the producers and editors, when they were putting it all together, were like, oh, this isn't what we want at all, fix it. But we can't do any reshoots, so just fix it here. It'll be fine.
Terrifying.
So what I really love about this bridge scene is, all the crew runs up and hugs Kirk, and he feels me like, by the way, I'm in command now. Have you told Decker yet?
The new captain won't that very
I'll
much.
I'll do that here in a minute. Don't you think you should tell the captain of the ship before you tell all his crew that you're taking over?
This is supposed to be our hero, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, because
what a fucking asshole.
Because, typically it would be the captain's duty to announce to the crew, okay, Admiral Kirk is going to be commanding this mission. rather than have the Admiral come in and completely undermine the Captain by saying, I'm taking over.
Yeah, if this happened in a Next Gen episode, there'd be a mutiny.
Yeah. As well there should be.
Yeah.
And you know,
you're replacing Picard? You bitch, you say what?
Actually, we had that as an episode.
So, are we going to discuss Captain Butt-Chin or what?
So, Deckard's down in engineering being Janeway. By which I mean knowing everything and fixing all of the problems.
Yeah, Captain Butt-Chin is not happy at all.
Well, can you blame him?
No.
The thing I like about him is he does remind me of young Kirk a little bit. In terms of general, looks like he's the young hotshot captain that's getting the Enterprise.
Like, right. It feels like there's 100 different better ways that Kirk could have gone about this, and he chose like the worst one possible.
Yeah, because he's Kirk.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, the only thing he could have done was the less responsible was put it as a post on Facebook.
Status update change, captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah, by the way, captain. Yes. Oh, that's weird. Why does it say Kirk is captain now? That's weird.
No, and the thing too, connecting Decker to being like a young Kirk, like Kirk recommended him for the captaincy of the Enterprise
because he knew it'd be easy to usurp. It's all part of the plan. All part of the plan.
Yes, man,
Kirk played
for me.
Kirk played a long ass game.
He measured his ass to make sure his ass didn't mess up his captain's chair. So when he sat down in it, it still felt familiar.
Well, it's not like he had anything better to do because, there wasn't a Enterprise to be captain of for quite a while.
Yeah, so let's talk about what Kirk was doing in the interim. He was the head of operations for all of Starfleet.
Terrifying.
Yes, it's a miracle the organization still existed. Into the 2270s.
It's amazing that he did not, incite an intergalactic war that would have destroyed the planet and everything.
Right.
So, I don't know how he kept from being impeached from messing with all the interns and secretaries.
No, that's because Kirk would never lie about it. Yes, we had our indiscretions.
It ain't perjury, bitch, if I don't lie.
I'm not married. What do you care?
Not married right now.
Ooh.
What was it, three marriages for Kirk, was it?
I don't know. Do we ever see any of his wives?
Well, there's Carol from the movie, but I don't know if they're married.
Yeah.
Or if he just knocked her up.
Well, yeah, I think that was the implication.
Not counting the Enterprise, I guess.
I think the implication was that that was his son, but not, from a marriage.
He was
just a bastard.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's Kirk.
It is Kirk.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So Kirk tells Decker, I'm taking over. And Decker's unhappy.
Rightfully so.
Uh huh.
His chin quivers with anger.
With anticipation.
Say it.
Shin.
Patient.
Damn it. You know what? Enough of this. Let's go see what Yeoman Rand is up to.
Oh, yeah, because she's, generally a competent person. Let's see.
She's actually back. Because she was only in the first season, right?
I think.
So, now, besides the fact that, she's actually a character, this is total fan service to have her back as well. Of course, another person for people in the audience go, her. I know her.
Uh-huh.
And they call her out by name, too.
Which is awesome.
However, they bring her back to being competent at her job, which is kind of shitty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's really her
fault. I don't think it is, because she was telling Starfleet not to send them.
And also, in the previous scene in the engine room, they were talking about how the transporter was fucked.
Yes. Right.
They had faulty parts.
Like, the primary transporter scanner or something was not working, so they were replacing it, which means there wasn't one installed
at the
time.
Which is why Kirk beamed over to that spaceport transporter room anyway.
So they could have the masturbatory entry scene.
So somebody,
because that was exactly the reason stated why he couldn't just beam onto the Enterprise. The transporter isn't working.
Right. And again, she tells them, it was like, yeah, wait, no, abort. This doesn't work. Starfleet.
So
no.
Yeah, it's like when your hands are full and someone like tosses you a football. It's like no.
Yeah, wow, Scott, you sounded just like Mickey right then.
Yeah, it's not her fault.
No, it's not her fault. But you know, that new Vulcan science officer,
I don't think he's gonna work out.
Well, what they got back didn't live long.
Fortunately,
that is the coldest
so
line.
Much better. Thanks, yeah. Fort Max.
And the guy just delivers it with like the most monotone matter
but
of fact.
They don't live
voice.
Long. It's fine.
God,
it was an abomination of science, but whatever. We'll clean it up.
Okay, so the interior corridors to the new Enterprise looks like someone turned the DeLorean inside out.
Ah, well, that's just these corridors. There's the leather padded ones later on.
Yeah, but these are like stainless steel, brushed stainless steel. They look like they'd be like too hot to touch.
No, they actually have liquid nitrogen running behind them, so you better not touch them because your hand will literally freeze to the surface.
You just lose the first three layers of skin.
Then suddenly, as Kirk runs away, he's confronted in the hallway by Decker and Decker's disturbingly tight crotch.
Hey, there's nothing disturbing about a nice tight crotch.
Well, if it wasn't Decker or really anybody in this cast, that'd be fine, but no, it's...
He looks like he's trying to smuggle, like, cocktail weenies. It's like, anybody want a little smoky? They're nice and warm.
Poor Decker.
Decker? I don't even know her.
So, Kirk's already informed Decker that he's going to be temporarily demoted to commander and be first officer, and now he has to be the science officer, too.
And the janitor.
Yeah, I was about to say, Frank, yeah, it's just going to iterate all the way down to being janitor.
And then, like, Decker just, like, stares at the camera with his Charlie Brown expression, like, good grief.
Like an episode of The Office.
Yeah. All right, so Kirk has gathered the entire crew into the recreation hall to show them a video of Klingons getting murdered, because those Klingon bastards had it coming.
That's a lot more crew than you normally see or
and
ever
I
see again.
And I think one of them looks like part of the Cantina band from A New Hope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see him.
Because there is a very, very Star Wars-y forehead in the crowd.
Ensign Biff.
Everything is so goddamn beige. I haven't seen so many shades of beige since I played Quake 3.
What kills me about these uniforms more than anything else is, one, the V-necks, and two, those really high short sleeves. It makes them look like I'm watching an old episode of Sesame Street.
Well, I mean, it's appropriate to the time period it was produced.
It is, but...
But it does not age well.
No.
No.
I also like that most of the uniforms are apparently convertible, like the sleeves can be zipped off to make them the short sleeve versions.
Huh.
You can see the seam in the middle of the bicep.
He doesn't like Branson Pinchot. He looks like Stephen Wright. It's like he's going to give us some dry one-liners.
All right, so shit, let's move along. This movie's awful. All right, so Kirk basically tells them this cloud thing is coming straight to Earth. We got, I don't know, 7 minutes before it gets here or something. Was it 2 days, 3 days?
3 days? 3 days? We'll go with 3 days.
A plot 3 days. Appropriate amount.
We have just enough time for everything to go wrong and get there just in time to not do anything.
Thanks for giving away the rest of the movie.
Look, you know it was going in that direction anyway.
Well, Kirk heads up to the bridge to oversee things, and he sits
look, it's
down
not
the chair.
About the Scott, it's not about the destination, it's about the journey getting there. I mean, it has to be, it takes long enough.
Kirk sits down and remarks, like, man, I forgot how nice this chair feels. I don't know what I'd do if I ever lost this chair. Angry glare from Decker.
This is a nice chair.
And Kirk thinks to himself, you know what? I really haven't screwed over Decker enough. Could you send up the new helmsman? Or navigator. Whatever. Then in through the turbo lift walks his ex. Because Kirk really hates Decker.
You know, I envision an alternate outcome of this movie where Command reverts to Decker after the whole thing is over with, but Kirk takes the captain's chair with him.
No, here's the thing. That wasn't his chair anyway. His captain's chair from pre-refit Enterprise, he just took it with him to his office.
Probably, but he wants the other one too. No, Kirk's pre-refit chair is in Kirk's house. He wants the new one for his office.
I just wonder, what did Decker ever do to him?
Well, he's captain of the Enterprise.
There's that.
He's sleeping with his girl.
There's mm-hmm. that, and there's also, it didn't make it in the movie, but the intent was he is Commodore Decker from Doomsday Machine's son.
Oh.
See, that would have actually, you know.
Been a good thing to include in the dialogue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
They did know an audience was going to watch this, right?
And the thing is, too, like, the information that is Commodore Decker's son also would kind of inform why Kirk probably recommended him for being captain of the Enterprise.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
he's got lineage? The family line, yeah.
Nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism basically. Is what that's called.
It's Kirk, though. I mean, do you think he thinks about things like that?
No, no.
No, but instead of getting a line about him being Commodore Deckard's son, we get a line about Ilya talking about how she's celibate. And just it's never touched upon again.
Randomly out of the blue, I'm like...
Or before, because she's celibate.
Okay.
Well, yeah, early, it's because it's Kirk.
Which is just a challenge at that point. That's basically, come at me, bro. That's all that means. Oh, I never
Kirk
have sex.
Usually
Kirk
pretty,
goes, really?
Kirk's pretty good about if someone doesn't want to bang him, he's like, okay, goes off to find someone else.
Yeah, there's always someone else ready and waiting.
Always somebody else.
And this is another situation where there is an intended backstory to Ilya that never gets, or Ilya that never gets related in the movie itself. So
God.
The whole vow of celibacy thing makes no sense in the given context.
Was there anything given about that?
Yeah, because Deltons, which is what she is, they're extremely sexually advanced. And they basically have to take a vow of celibacy when they leave their homeworld so they don't fuck up every crew that they're a part of because everybody wants to bone them.
Right.
Oh, well, I was just like making that shit up. Vaginas. That was right?
Yes. That is exactly it.
I just pulled that out of my ass.
Wow. So
that's how advanced they are.
Wow. That's amazing.
Their vaginas are made of vibrating fleshlights.
He said that so confidently, I thought he actually knew what he was talking about.
So we finally meet. Oh, I gotta say, Ilya, she is really hot. For a bald chick, not bad. Not bad. Pretty girl.
So something I learned watching Babylon 5 is bald chicks aren't so bad.
No, no.
Because they turned up in Babylon 5 from time to time, and it wasn't a bad thing.
When Bones, have we got to the point where he comes on board yet?
Yeah, we're about to that point where Disco Bones shows up.
What the hell has he been doing for the last 3 years?
Growing a beard.
LSD?
Right, Ken's on point with me here.
I'm just glad that the transporter got his beard, too. Because that thing looks like it's about to fall off.
Okay, but seriously, that is best costume in this movie.
Okay, so he beams up. He beams up with this, like, 5-inch thick beard. This almost his collar is almost a popped collar. It's that big. Of course, it's late 70s, so what are you going
to
do?
It's unzipped all the way down to his goddamn navel.
And he has this giant gold medallion around his neck.
He's, yeah.
And a disco belt.
What has he been doing?
Angel belt.
On top
apparently.
Of this, the entire transporter room lighting's been dimmed down to club level.
Yeah, but you know what? It ain't fucking purple anymore.
It knew what it knew exactly what it was bringing. If the transporter room had a sound system, if the transporter had a sound system, it would have been having a disco bass playing.
Oh, and look at that! Bones is
the
red
alert noise
about
the disco siren. Whoop whoop.
I also want to point out
that awesome Enterprise.
I want to point out, because I didn't get to before, I like the transporter beam effect they have for this.
I don't know. I like the more particle-y. I don't like the smoothie swirly. I kind of like the particle effect.
I guess I like it because it is different.
Yes, it is different.
I would have liked to see how they would have made that work outside of actually a transporter pad, like where there's not a discrete top and bottom pound it.
Yeah,
but we don't.
So. Weird to be able to figure out how to do that in open air. Yeah, because it's so
and
contained
to the
by
the top.
I kind of suspect that's why it never got seen outside of a pad, because nobody could figure out how to make the effect work otherwise.
Okay, so we see some more beauty shots of the Enterprise, and it's still the NCC 1701. This isn't the A, so this is the original Enterprise just refit.
The A does not get introduced until the fifth movie.
Right, because
technically it gets introduced at the end of the fourth movie, but Final Frontier is the first outing for the A.
Okay, because this is literally the same ship, just been, you know, parts and everything have been upgraded.
They pretty
it's
much
a pretty heavy
well,
refit.
It's the same ship.
They tore
after
it down to the space
step.
Frame and rebuilt it.
They pretty much replaced the ship.
Yeah, they tore it down to the space frame and put a new ship around it.
I see, but they didn't give it the new designation A number until it was completely destroyed.
It's still the same underlying structure.
Okay, fair enough.
And it's not like the A where they grabbed another ship and completely redesignated it.
Right. But mommy, I'm Billy. Not anymore, you're not.
You're Johnny-A.
Oh my god. There's some abortion jokes in there somewhere, but whoa.
Oh dear.
But yeah, I'm renaming a ship that was already named, especially if it hadn't, if it was still being built at, does happen.
Yeah. Although I really doubt the Enterprise A was under construction when they decided to make it the Enterprise A, since they retired it 7 years later.
Right. Man, these beauty shots of the ship and the music are just phenomenal. They just really just, to me, they just get me right in the heart. They really do.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Like
I'm
a rusty spike?
They come around the planet and the sun comes up and the music swells.
That shot is beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
it gets me. It does.
It gets the crew, too, because Decker and Ilya start making goo-goo eyes at each other.
Oh, we're going to break some valves.
McCoy has taken off his beard and disco medallion.
He's just hanging up in his room.
Disappointed that he didn't just leave the beard and the disco medallion on the entire movie.
But he keeps his deep V-neck. In a closet somewhere, he found a Starfleet uniform with a collar and a V-neck.
So at some point in the movie, there's something above them he wants to alert everyone to. He goes, "Hey, everyone, look up there!" And he points and swings his hips.
Now here's the thing that I don't get. He's retired. They essentially said, okay, yeah, you're coming back now.
They reactivated him. Yeah, they reactivated his commission.
Well, to be fair, Kirk did it.
Yes.
Yeah.
He forced his old crew back together.
Uh-huh.
What an asshole.
And the one that he couldn't get, Spock, he replaced with an alternate Vulcan.
They're all the same, right?
Surrogate Spock.
Yeah.
Wait, why didn't he just get the infinite Vulcan? Oh, he's too big. That's why.
Yeah.
Stick him in a space suit. He can run on. He can run on the outside.
He can surf it.
He can just stay down in the recreation deck. That's tall enough.
All right. So at this point, the film just totally gets destroyed. Something goes horribly wrong with the recording process, and they try to make it part of the special effects, I guess.
Okay, so the warp drive has never been tested to this point, but Kirk decides, you know what? We're going to leave now.
You know, for, you know, being such an advanced spacefaring civilization now, they sure are bad at this.
Yeah, it's like they've never done this before.
And here's the thing. They did a similar thing in the cage, and it looked a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's look at it this way. Okay, you buy a car. Then you take everything out of that car, leave just the frame, and you put a new engine in it. You pile everyone in your car, and you say, let's go. You haven't even turned the crank yet.
Well, except the thing here is that this would be the auto manufacturer rebuilding the car.
Let's not forget the most important part, which is you replace the driver who you trusted for years with William Shatner.
So the warp engine malfunctions and creates
at the
wormhole.
Dazzling speed of warp one, the warp engine malfunctions.
And sends the creates a wormhole and sends them hurtling straight towards a giant rock of chocolate in space.
Space rock chocolate.
My favorite.
Kirk's immediate response is, have sex with it.
Wait, that's no, I mean phasers.
His second response is to shoot with phasers.
Which Decker makes a big dramatic deal of, no, don't do that.
Why?
You're not saying it right. It's no.
Yeah, everything's all slow motion for some reason.
God, I can see this making me sick in the theaters.
Yeah, potentially.
It kind of makes me sick anyway.
Yeah.
For a different reason, though.
So,
and it makes the dialogue kind of, some of the dialogue almost non-intelligible.
Almost.
Yeah, so Kirk throws daggers at Decker while Decker fires photon torpedoes for Chekhov, since Chekhov forgot how.
No, Chekhov was doing it. Decker was just hovering over him to make sure he pushed the right buttons.
Button hovering right there near his face.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, now, to be fair, this is Decker and not Riker, because Riker would have had his leg cocked up on the console the whole time.
Hanging over Chekhov's shoulder.
And the boys on his shoulder.
Yeah, he would have swung his leg over Chekhov's head and cocked the leg over the console.
Riker would have just told him to ram it.
Now, Riker would have grabbed the stick and flew around it.
No, Troy would have jumped in the driver's seat and drove it into it.
Just like an insurrection and nemesis.
Yeah.
All right. Well, rock destroyed, crisis averted.
Woo.
I love the fact the villain in this movie so far has been a rock.
Yep.
A big rock.
The villain in this movie has been Kirk.
Yes, the real villain of the movie is Kirk. And, like, that's true for the entire movie.
Oh, Lord, and we're only like a third of the way through.
Oh, God, can we speed up somehow? Please.
Yes. Okay, so Kirk calls Decker into his captain's quarters for a spanking and basically says, Decker's like, yeah, well, I was right. You were going to blow up the ship. And Kirk's like, oh, okay, cool. Well,
keep doing.
Call
that,
me
then.
Out in that shit in the future. Awesome. Thanks.
I'll also, totally listen to you.
Also, I'm not really sure how Kirk's quarters work. Because, like, you come in through the front door, and there's this, like, daybed thing on one side, and then through doors in the back wall, which are just, like, tinted glass, there's a conference table.
Well, yeah, that's what we have the selection process he's going to use on the table bed.
Yeah, these are Kirk's quarters, remember?
Yeah.
The table is for naked ladies to lie with sushi on top of them.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, now I want sushi.
Yeah, me too. I could do without the sweaty naked lady, though.
This wormhole just happened to pop them out right near where a Vulcan shuttle was flying.
Perfect.
Now we can demote Decker. Now we can demote Decker again.
Hooray! Everyone, take a shot.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to really twist Hey Mickey's arm on that one.
So I like the concept of this shuttle, which is just as a normal little shuttle pod on this giant, like, warp drive outrigger thing.
That's going to say just let float away into space.
Well, no, the shuttle turns back after it drops Spock off and hooks back up with it. That's just not clearly...
Before Starfleet decided, maybe we should design shuttles that can actually land.
So this way, it docks to the back of the saucer section near the bridge module, I assume.
Presumably.
Sure. And then we got Doofy McGee in his 1920s football outfit for security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a space ball, for God's sakes. It's all cross-eyed. And
he ain't found shit. But thankfully, Spock found them.
I'm going to say, that ain't the Vulcan from Voyager.
Tim Russ?
Yeah.
Although Spock looks fucking awesome in his new clothes. That black thing with the robes and the thing, he looks like a fucking vampire.
Yeah, why couldn't he have worn that the whole movie?
I don't know, but he immediately kicks Decker up out of the way.
Yeah, everyone's all happy to see Spock, and they all want to give him hugs, and he just kind of looks at him like, what?
Everybody's happy to see Spock, but he ignores them because he's got one thing on his mind right now.
The blurry background?
Which is humiliating Decker more. Move.
Yeah. And he just snaps his fingers and thumbs up like, you know, the fawns.
Now, I believe it's at this point we get the original theme song playing in the background.
Oh, do we? Okay.
Yeah, it's used at a couple points in the movie.
And it makes me realize I really wish they had held on to it and used it more often.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing it used with movie footage makes me realize, oh, that would have been nice to have around.
Yeah. And you're right, hey, Mickey. You mentioned it before, but Spock looks mighty green.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell in wide shots, but up close, we stand next to like a normal human.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Leonard Nimoy?
Yeah.
Oh, who's buzzing?
Oh, there's no telling.
I've been wondering the same thing.
It's the same noise we had halfway last week that we never resolved.
Hey, Mickey, what are you doing?
He's using a Mac.
Yeah. Macs and Skype aren't terribly compatible.
So anyway, Spock's been listening in on all their calls, so he knows everything that's going on, and he also has a solution to their engine problem, which he immediately rushes down to engineering to deal with, because he's Spock.
Yeah.
He's Spock, and he's here to save the day.
Good. Somebody has to.
Unfortunately, all you can do is fix the engines. The movie still proceeds anyway.
Right. And they finally get to go to real warp, which is fabulous.
Unfortunately, real warp takes them straight to the cloud.
Isn't that where it's supposed
to
take them?
Someone else's computer on the internet?
Yes. Uhura, who is also in this movie, says, I'm talking to them, they're not talking back.
Seems like a running theme of her career.
Ouch.
Well, there was that time she did the fan dance.
The alluring fan dance.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I was allured.
With her 2-foot-thick thighs.
Oh, yeah.
Chekhov's response, being Russian, is, should I fire missiles at them?
Well, that is his job.
Actually, yes, that is his job.
So they went from Chekhov to Worf. Kind of an upgrade when you think about tactical officers,
no,
right?
No, they did not.
Nope.
No?
No, they went from Chekhov to Tasha Yar.
Oh my god, you're right. I am so embarrassed.
And
now.
She came from a completely failed colony.
You know what?
Were I heard?
The colony that Tasha Yar came from, there was gangs of people that rape. literal rape gangs on this colony that it was a failure completely.
Oh, it's going to be this way for the rest of the movie, y'all. Just so you know. We brought up Yar.
Yeah, Worf was security.
No, Worf was command.
Worf was a red shirt, which means that he was just whatever was needed to be done at the time.
I thought Worf wore gold.
Season 2 onward.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It changed.
Season 1, he was under command branch instead of engineering security. I really don't understand that division at all, but whatever.
I think he may have been command, security command, maybe.
Well, there's only three divisions, though. There's red, gold, and blue.
Right.
Right. Red is command, yellow is operations division, and blue is science, which also includes medical.
Right.
Security is part of operations.
Ah, okay. That makes sense then.
Yep.
Which is also why Data was Worf's direct superior when he was security chief.
Data was? I thought Data was a...
Data was the operations officer.
Oh, yeah.
He ran the ship.
Essentially, yes.
Oh, man, this movie is so fucking boring.
All right, so...
I love you guys, but damn. Oh.
You're regretting joining the show now, ain't you?
Oh, God.
Okay, so the cloud shoots a Kamehameha at the Enterprise. The Enterprise shrugs it off the shields. They're getting shot at again. Spock saves the day and figures out, just talk slower to it.
Oh, so it's a worm.
Or faster. It was faster, yeah.
Yeah, faster.
Chekhov painfully burns his sleeve, but not his arm.
Well, you shouldn't make uniforms out of flash paper.
No, that's nylon. That shit melted onto him. That's why he was screaming.
Oh, God. I'd rather die in a transporter accident.
Do you suppose that's the phrase that replaced go die in a fire in the future? Go die in a transporter?
I hope they transport your ass on backwards.
Okay, so they get through to the cloud, and the cloud cancels their second shot, which the Enterprise decides, you know what? Let's go inside.
That is Kirk's solution to most things.
Prepare for penetration.
Yeah. Center of the galaxy, doesn't matter.
Prepare for 45 minutes of boring screensaver special effects.
Whom.
I guess they figure we spend a lot of money on these special effects, we're going to use every last second of it.
Too bad, like, half the miniatures in the, remainder of the movie look pretty shitty.
I think this is the point where the movie just goes to complete shit. I mean, it hasn't been good up until now, but it's been watchable.
It's been something.
At this point, I kind of walked out of the room for a while and came back, and they were still flying slowly over this thing.
Yep.
There was like four or five shots like that, just showing the Enterprise flying over the interior structure.
Which might have well just been, pretty much just flying over indescript stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Just
the whole
stuff.
The whole point of it was just to show the comparative scale of the Enterprise, which you could do with one establishing shot.
Okay, I just timed it here on Netflix. There's 10 minutes of flying shots, basically.
Now, is that all together or just the first sequence?
From when they fly into the cloud to where something else starts to happen.
Okay, because there's more flyover sequences besides that.
Oh, there is. I'm just gonna, but this one entry scene.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
It's 10 minutes of them flying straight and having odd expressions.
Yeah, looking at nothing.
And, like, here's the thing, too, because, like, up to that point, everybody involved had only ever done Star Trek as a TV series, and you shoot TV shows a very different way than you shoot a movie, because you don't really have time for, like, reaction shots and long establishing scenes. So, they're basically taking...
Well, when you're needing to pad stuff out.
Okay, but, like, in general practice,
Yeah.
So, like, here it feels like they're overcompensating because they finally can do all these, like, big, what would otherwise be money shots, but it's this, so they're not.
Also, I mean, this would be a fairly realistic reaction from the crew. I mean, if you're flying through 10 minutes of amazing looking things, you're just going to stand there slack-jawed at it. The problem is, that's bad filmmaking.
Okay, so let's skip to the part where they get sucked inside the sphincter and they're stuck sitting.
Are we watching the same movie?
Because I think that's the next actual thing that happens.
Actually, no, the beam of light comes in and kills
Ilya. I thought that was after.
No, that's before. So, electrical light beam comes in and probes around, and it kills Digger's girlfriend.
It's a green transporter beam.
Oh, there it is. I had to find it. Oh, my God.
Yep, so even more cool screwing of Decker.
Well, actually, no, now it's less screwing of Decker, because his girlfriend's dead.
Except that she was celibate, so he wasn't getting screwed by her anyway.
Well, you know, the cool thing about Deltons is they don't count handies, mouth, or butt. So there's still a lot of option there.
Unfortunately, this one
it's
I can't
It's the whole Starfleet can't see.
Unfortunately, I can't verify that one being true because nothing's that specific on the subject.
Well, I'm missing this completely on my own headcanon.
But Enterprise gets stuck at the space sphincter. And Spock says that maybe that behind this closed orifice, the ship goes on further. Which is just brilliant.
No, beyond that is just like the other side of space or something. I mean,
just go all the way through it. Come out the other side. Well, that was boring.
The Enterprise has become mired in the ship's colon.
Oh, it's time for another farting alarm. There's an intruder in one of the ship's sonic showers. Which is
and
this
boy,
the first
it's hot.
Sonic shower?
I think so, yeah.
There's a lot more water in it than I expected.
Is it water or is it just, you know,
sonic-ness.
Wavy special effects?
No, on Ilya, there is drops of water all over her.
Oh. Well, that's the thing about a sonic shower in concept, though. I mean, you would need some water to actually, like, wash. Presumably this is just, you know, it augments it with sound waves to break stuff off so you can use less water.
So like one of those vibrating toothbrushes. You still have to get them wet.
Yeah, yeah.
Those sonic hairs.
Okay, well, anyway, so for reasons unknown, Ilya has appeared in the sonic shower with a Sailor Moon crystal stuck in her neck, and she forgot to put on pants.
Hooray.
But nobody's really complaining.
No.
I kind of imagine the actress probably was.
Oh, she was like a model. She didn't care. She's just wearing, like, ridiculous things.
Or, you know, nothing.
Or nothing. I mean, look at those heels. I do love the fact that the alien knew enough to give her these, like, 6-inch heels. So 70s sci-fi.
So, Robot Ilya reveals that the entity's name is V'ger, and it's here to find the creator.
Are you
and
the Keymaster?
Suddenly I'm having
Tyler?
Flashbacks to an original series episode. I think you know the one.
No?
With Nomad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, because this is basically Nomad all over again. A probe sent out,
budget.
It comes back looking for like its creators and is all super powerful. It's the same story.
It is.
Now, oh, there's Security Officer Doofy again with his little helmet.
His
He's
name
adorable.
Is His name is
he's
Perez.
He's like 5'6". Look at him. He's a cute.
Well, he's Hispanic.
Oh, God.
And apparently in the novelization, he's Chavez.
That's interesting.
That's better than Kowalski.
Now,
is it?
What? Kowalskis always die.
This is true. Just ask Stargate.
No, Kowalski didn't die in Stargate. That's what was so wrong about that scene.
Stargate SG-1.
Oh, well, I didn't watch this show. Anyway, I like this scene because this scene in particular feels like you're watching an old original series episode. From the pacing to the shot setup. I mean, it's very classic.
Oh, and there's
right, and this I think is where I started feeling like, you know, if you re-edit this and take like most of the bullshit parts out, you could actually trim this down to like a workable episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. Not a great episode, but one that would be
one that works. Yeah.
So go like the Phantom edit and then just
yeah.
But yeah,
chop the hell
isn't that what this part was originally written as?
Probably.
Most likely, yes. Kirk is wearing the short sleeve outfit now, showing off his incredibly hairy triceps, which is just
off-putting.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we've kind of danced around that McCoy's deep V-neck has also been very much showing off his chest hair too.
Yeah, McCoy's chest looks like Kirk's triceps.
Oh God! There was a transplant involved.
I think McCoy didn't even like shave his beard. He just like made it all move down to his chest.
No, that was just his chest hair flipped up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he combed it upwards instead of down.
Ah, the comb up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they take her to medical bay and realize that she's a robot. Perfectly duplicated from Ilya, so it's probably got her memories perfectly duplicated in there, too. Decker, why don't you go try and form a romantic entanglement with this thing since you used to bang her? That won't be devastating for you at all.
And hey, you know what? This robot's probably not celibate.
That's true.
Go get him.
We don't know if she's waterproof, though, so...
She came out of the sonic shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair point.
All wet.
Oh, yes.
So Decker tries to complain, like, I don't think so. And, like, Kirk's like, we're 6 hours away from Earth being blown up. Do your goddamn job.
Yeah, have sex with that robot, for God's sake.
So, be captain of the ship? Okay.
No, not that. Clearly.
Yeah, so Kirk's all, Earth's about to get blown up. Just think, what would Kirk do?
And you shall not go far wrong.
So Decker's master plan is to bring her to the poker table,
and also their electronic shuffleboard.
Yes.
Wait. So did she just bust through a wall?
Yes. Yes, she did.
So she just kind of like Frankenstein monstered this.
No, she's like the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh yeah.
I'm disappointed she didn't leave an Ilya-shaped hole in the wall behind her.
Now here's the thing: between shots, I think the hole changed.
It probably did.
Because after the shot where it looked through, it looked more doorway-ish than it did when it was being broke open.
It's probably another cool ship shots. I do love the ship shots. I'm a sucker.
So I mean, it's cool. They just go on too long. That's all.
Yeah.
Decker's master plan to get her to fully remember her memories is he buys her a headband because it's the 80s almost.
Right.
Almost.
Meanwhile, Spock got his own plan of, I'm going to sneak off in this spacesuit and go die. So Spock is planning to time his.
It's okay though, because Spock has left his Skype running and his microphone open so that everybody can hear it when it happens.
Basically, Spock is playing the worst video game of all time. We get to times this retarded ass jump through a tiny little hole that's opening and closing, and you got one shot at it.
So he's playing Mega Man.
And the worst part is he had to pay 99 cents for it on his phone.
So, Spock, of course, gets the calculations correct and goes through the sphincter to the other side. And apparently it's a Walt Disney ride full of, like, hologram screens around them. It's really dumb.
V'ger's been doing a lot of LSD. And Spock's riding a trip up its bowel.
So,
I think we know where McCoy's been.
Spock realizes that this machine is alive. There's a lot of pointless crap.
Yeah.
Losing interest quickly.
There are, like, planets and shit in there. There's, like, whole planets just hanging around, just doing stuff.
And he comes across planets multiple times, like... Okay, get it.
And then there's like a person with the neck thing, and then it's Ilya, but that doesn't make any sense, but I don't know.
Okay, so what Spock learns is that V'ger is digitally storing everything it encounters in its travels, so He's basically seeing the representation of all that stuff, and then he tries to mind meld with V'ger, and he gets shit back out the other side.
Wait, so V'ger is basically the plane from Stealth?
And it all comes back around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So Kurt goes, you know what? It's a good idea. What Spock did.
Well, yeah, because it's Kirk's idea now.
So here's a question. So all these lights and stuff we see inside V'ger, they, you know, because usually those are represented by windows. So are there windows, or are they just lights for no reason?
That's a good question, because, like, the way the internal structure is set up, it looks like, you know, a ship that would be populated.
Or, yes, yeah, cities or something. Like, there's a crew of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then Spot gets
that's
pooped
just,
out.
Probably just an agglomeration of a bunch of stuff that it's seen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, so in the process of mind-melding, Spock also sees that wherever, whatever this thing is, it came from Cybertron.
No.
Yes, and that explains why there's windows when there's no one there to be inside the windows.
It came from planet Borg.
No, it definitely came from Cybertron.
No, because this movie would have been entertaining if it had anything to do with Cybertron.
Not really.
You haven't seen many Transformers movies, have you?
Or Transformers Cybertron.
Well, there was only one Transformers movie, and that was like in 1986. So otherwise, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're clearly making stuff up.
Yeah, there was something in this movie that I don't remember when it happened, but since we're in the medical bay now, mm-hmm. they make as the side joke about how the sick bay keeps changing in the original series. Where Bone says something along the lines of engineers keep changing things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really remember where that scene happened.
Joke?
Well, because in the original series, they kept changing what room the sick bay was.
Well, no, it was that there was multiple areas in sickbay. So there was the one with the, like, two beds and the monitor overhead, which was one part of it. There was
were they
the
not just
ward...
different sets?
But, I mean, it's all the same sickbay structure, though. It's just, like, separate areas.
Okay, I thought they were actually just whatever set they had lying around, so they just threw some beds into it.
No, I mean it was as much as anything distinct sets because the same things reoccurred as needed. McCoy's office, the infirmary part where, you know, long term patients were bedded down, and like exam area.
Now, where was the power chamber there in the sick bay?
That was down in the engineering hall.
Oh, okay. All right, so. Whatever happened out there in space has got Spock to loosen up a little bit and get the stick out of his ass. And he starts acting
either
more like
that
Spock
or it was the
to.
Drugs that he was given.
Yeah. He osmosed some LSD out of V'ger's sphincter.
Captain,
oh, no.
saw something groovy.
Well, either that or the drugs he was given in Med Bay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So basically Spock lays it down like, okay, well, this machine's alive and it doesn't know what to do.
Just like the director. So they bro-hug it out.
And, like, you know, the dialogue makes it like V'ger is something that's already become a self-aware life form, and I think it would have worked a lot better if they'd explained it as V'ger is on the verge of becoming self-aware.
It's on the verger of becoming aware?
And it needs... You know, it needs its creator to actually make that final leap and become a life form.
That would make more sense, yeah.
Right.
Although, so everyone's down in sick bay, but they left Sulu in the captain's chair, which I like.
Yeah, I mean, even in the original series episodes, Sulu would occasionally take command.
Yeah, because it was Scotty, then Sulu, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, then I need to make a confession.
Uh-oh.
Sulu as a captain really doesn't do anything for me. Because really? I'm trying to imagine the adventures Sulu would have in his own.
There's a novel series about that.
And I'm coming up blank because Sulu doesn't really have any personality.
Presumably he was written with some in the novel series, but I haven't read any of them, so I couldn't tell you.
I would imagine that if for Sulu to be a good captain and tell good stories, he'd have to have a very interesting crew around him. Because, yeah, I think you're right. He's a little dry, he's a little by the book.
Yeah.
So he'd need interesting bridge officers.
Like what Sulu learned from Kirk was all the things not to do, basically.
Which is why he's probably a better captain.
Like I'm sure he'd be a fine and capable captain, but
yeah,
I'm not certain he'd be exciting to watch. I mean,
like I think that's the basis on which Sulu got Excelsior, which was at the time the most advanced ship in Starfleet. You know,
yeah.
I always assumed that was part of Kirk's plan to cripple the Excelsior further. It's like I'm gonna put an inside man on there and have him do what I say, and the Excelsior looks like crap.
No, you know what? You know what it is? Kirk recommended Sulu to be captain of Excelsior because his long-term plan was he was going to go take over Excelsior the next time a big crisis happened.
And rename it the Enterprise?
Why would he? It's not the Enterprise.
He would rename it the Enterprise. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
But first, he'd have to get the Enterprise blown up.
Well.
Oh, like that's a problem.
There are Klingons for that, man. Come on.
Okay, I've really had enough of this movie, so we're skipping to the end here. They land on V'ger. Somehow they land the saucer section on a matte painting. I don't know how, but it's done. So they waddle their happy asses in their terrible jackets down to where the master control program is
sitting. They waddle down a hex game board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think they land the saucer so much as they pull it up next to the core component and the hex structure is built up to the saucer.
Yeah, I believe that's what happens.
No, what? Who cares?
They sure don't show how it happens, which, given all they spent on the other ground effects, you think they could have spared a little for...
Yeah, you would think.
Exposition?
So, down at the bottom of the camping pit here, they see an archaic-looking satellite dish attached to some crummy metal box. Kirk goes down there, and he does what the robots could not do, and that's clean the sign.
Yes. We don't have hands.
Or spit.
We have no spit.
Surprise, V'ger is actually Voyager.
Voyager
and Janeway
6.
Got it lost in space all those years ago.
Fuck! that's like the remastered director's cut I want of this, where they get to the center and it's just like a chunk of the USS Voyager.
It's 709's piece, leotard.
It's this piece of the ship that has all of Janeway's logs stored in it.
My God, she was a monster.
And that's why it's trying so hard to get back home to the Delta Quadrant, or the Alpha Quadrant, rather.
Right. So see, it all kind of works.
So it is worth noting that the Voyager 6 is fictional. We never made a Voyager 6.
How many Voyagers did we make? Two?
Yeah.
And none of our Voyagers got lost in a black hole at the edge of the solar system.
Right. Because that's
and
where black holes apparently hang out.
Well, he said it's what they used to call a black hole.
It's a wormhole.
Yeah, presumably.
Right.
And, you know, exposition around that probably would have been good too, but whatever.
No. It's not like anyone was actually going to watch this movie.
Yeah, most of the audience had gotten up and walked out by now.
Or died in the chair.
Or just fallen asleep.
Yeah, they got the ticket money. Tomato. Who cares? Oh, so they just wander around it and look at it and poke at it and just do nothing for a while.
Well, they kind of then start to make the leap that, you know, the aliens that found it, the Cybertronians, read Org. Its programming and figured out, okay, so this was supposed to learn everything in the universe. Let's build a thing around it so it can do that and send it on its way.
It's going to learn the shit out of everything.
And so what V'ger really wants, is to make contact with home and send back everything it's learned. So they have Uhura look up in like Wikipedia or something what the activation code is for Voyager 6 and
data
transmit
dump.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, oh no, it shorted out its own receiver.
If there was only some sort of technology we could use.
Like a keyboard?
Yeah.
Or just speak it out loud since they can listen to you?
Or just reconnect the wires that you can see that it just disconnected.
I don't know. Can these 23rd century spacemen fix 20th century technology? Gosh.
Well, Decker sure seems handy with the what he calls the ground test computer of this thing he's presumably never actually seen before except an abstract concept.
Or like in a history book.
Yeah.
Well, look, you can see the broken wire.
Yes. But see, they don't have wires in the future. You know, that's too primitive for them. It's like speaking into a mouse computer.
Decker is kind of like the shittiest Mary Sue character because he's great at everything, but nothing good ever happens to him.
Best story of my life.
Right, Decker is Charlie Brown.
Except Charlie Brown's not good at anything.
No, but he's got a really shitty life. Well, no, like, Decker tries really hard at everything he does, but only has shit happen to him. And that makes me think of Charlie Brown.
Okay, yeah, well,
he did attain the career to the point where he could be the captain of the Enterprise until
On Kirk's recommendation. There's no telling where he would have gone if Kirk had not, you know, spoken up for him.
Yeah, he captained the Enterprise while it was parked and getting built.
Yeah, Kirk just had him appointed there to make sure the Enterprise would be put back together facing the right direction.
Because Kirk couldn't be bothered with that. That was boring.
Kirk had a whole Starfleet to run. And he knows that's thing that's never discussed again in any Star Trek media. That for 2 or 3 years, Kirk was running Starfleet operations.
They probably don't discuss that either.
It's probably all
probably
very...
not too confusing because every ship was called the Enterprise for some reason. Starfleet Command was called the Enterprise.
Enterprise, this is Enterprise speaking.
I like to think that, like...
They renamed Earth Enterprise.
They gave him the title of head of Starfleet operations, but there was actually like a whole department of people actually running Starfleet. So he was issuing orders out that nobody was paying attention to. But since he was Kirk, he was never like checking back on any of the stuff he did. He was just assuming everything went fine with it.
Probably checking back on some things he did.
He certainly didn't check back on Khan, did he?
Ooh.
Well, Khan wasn't a lady. Uh-huh.
Right, so anyway, Mickey.
Okay, so they figure out that Vader's trying to evolve to the next level of consciousness. And so what we need to do is we need to just fill Vader full of human cock. So, Decker.
Whoa!
Go bang the robot.
Except, here's the thing. What about all those other humans? Like on that space station it digitized.
Well, they're dead.
Yeah.
And Ilya's dead too, but she still has robot hole. So, Decker suddenly turns into Starman.
That's an 80 and...
Well, we've been here so long that it is the 80s now.
Yeah, for basically.
Like, people went into the movie and it was 1979... And when they left the theater after the movie was over, it had become 1980.
Oh, God. I think it's 2017 at this point.
Oh.
You know, I kind of want to do that. Like, go to a movie theater on New Year's Eve. Just watch a movie until it's the next year.
No, Decker quantum leaps. That's what he does.
It does kind of look like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. He disappears in a puff of boredom.
But very slowly, because it's the motion picture.
Yeah, it's not really a quantum leap so much as a quantum, like, you know...
Stumble?
Oozy.
And so Decker leaps from life to life, hoping that each leap will be the leap to something actually interesting.
Yeah, to not this movie anymore.
To something closer to the end of the movie. All right, so V'ger disappears in a puff of boredom, and the crew has their moment on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Once it gained intelligence, it knew it didn't want to have anything to do with this movie.
Yes, as soon as it gained self-awareness, it's like, oh, shit, I'm leaving.
Yeah, peace out.
So I like the movie ends with the standard bridge end episode scene of them all just sort of hanging out and discussing what they learned. And what caps this whole movie off is Kirk's closing of it. He's like, all right, let's go on out there. Just wherever. Just get us away from here.
Yeah, let's get that away.
I don't care anymore. Just go.
He has what he wants. Now he doesn't know what he wants to do with it.
Also,
it's
like how he
the audience's reaction. Just go. I'm tired.
And I also like how he has Decker declared missing, not dead, so that there's never any closure to his file officially.
His family always wonders.
Yes. Like, in his last act against Decker, it's just...
He basically hightails it with the ship that had no orders to actually leave with.
No, he did, but he wrote the order himself.
Oh, fudge.
Because he was the head of Starfleet operations, so he could do that.
Decker, missing, possibly traitor.
Just completely sullies his entire family lineage from then on. His children grew up thinking his father was a traitor, a failure.
Missing and definitely traitor.
Kirk's just jealous because he didn't get to fuck the intelligence satellite.
The satellite of love.
That's why he's trying to stop him.
Ayn, remember, it completely digitized Ilya.
The human adventure is just beginning because, like, there was no adventure in this. So it's only now beginning.
Oh, man. But what a great improvement to Wrath of Khan. when we get to Wrath of Khan, it's like, it's so good. It's so good.
Okay. No, I thought you were saying this was an improvement to Wrath of Khan.
No. There's an improvement when we go to Wrath of Khan.
Oh, not by leaps and bounds. By leaps and bounds.
This movie is awful.
It's not even entertainingly awful.
No.
It's boring. No. And it's worse.
I mean, there's moments where it's working, but they're few and far between, and they're greatly outweighed by everything that makes me want to stab my eyes out.
Yeah, and most of that is just the way that the movie is structured. Like, the story is not great or innovative or anything, but it's not inherently bad. If it was put together the right way, it would be watchable.
Yeah, and they could have put a spin on it or made it something more interesting and had more of a connection to, you know, the TV series or the characters or anything.
Right. But they didn't go that way with it.
But it commits what I've always said a movie's cardinal sin is. It's boring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's really boring.
It's so boring. We skipped over, what, like half an hour of it and didn't miss anything.
No, I mean, the only thing we missed in the part we skipped over was just the way they got to the core of V'ger, which was by Kirk telling the Ilea robot, no, we're not going to tell you anything unless you take us there. And it took half an hour to make that bit of progression.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the cool things I was in watching this, and it's something I had to remember because, you know, I play the Star Trek MMO, and the Borg have this gigantic ship that'll appear sometimes, and they call it the Space Pickle. Well, we call it the Space Pickle.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. That's not the canon name, obviously. Special Science Consultant Isaac Asimov. That's cool. So they built this thing, and it looks very V'ger-ish. And the designers in the game, the guy who made it, said, yeah, I pretty much made this Borg ship to look like parts of V'ger to make that connection, because as far as I'm concerned, it went to the Borg planet. I didn't really get approval to do that, but the design's in the game, and no one can stop me.
Well,
they can. It's called a patch.
Yeah, but they've already made the asset, so they're not going to delete it or anything, and it's already part of the game, and people... You know,
if someone vindictive enough comes along, they will delete it.
Yes.
Maybe. When the Borg finally get boring enough to finally get, you know, get away from them.
Yes, win.
Yeah, just like removing, I got a damn name from Destiny.
Are you in the bathroom again?
No.
You sound very far away.
Yeah, it's the microphone in the bathroom.
Maybe.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Shit, what was his name?
Peter Dinklage?
Yes, they removed him from Destiny and replaced him with Noel North.
Oh, yeah, I heard
Peter Dinklage
that.
Didn't want to come back or demanded too much money.
Probably.
And also, you can't stop Nolan North from appearing in a video game.
Yes.
Or anything
it's
else.
It's like spontaneous generation. Like, you leave wheat around and a rat appears.
Yeah, and, it's like this time he didn't... By putting it off a year, he didn't just appear in a game. He replaced somebody entirely.
I think in the next Tomb Raider movie, he's actually going to play Lara Croft.
I would be down with that.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, as long as he wears the outfit, right?
Well, that's more of an Uncharted joke.
Oh. Oh, that's true. Yes, I got you. All right. Well done, well done. Oh, my God, this movie's so boring. You know what? We'd have more fun making fun of the names scrolling through in the credits than we did watching the movie.
Well, I mean, there's good news with this, though.
Next week's back to Next Gen?
We never have to watch this movie ever again.
That's true, and I certainly won't. I'll break the television before I do.
I almost want to watch the director's cut just to see what they changed, but I thought about it and realized I'd be watching the motion picture again.
With
and so
more
I didn't.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much more there is. I think they just like did. They just used alternate takes
yeah,
and
just different.
Different effects.
Yeah.
Why not just look it up on you know the wikis?
Or watch a YouTube video, because I'm sure has collated all that stuff into one YouTube video you can watch.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Definitely something to look into. So,
okay,
what do we want to do for next?
I'm so tired.
I can tell.
Right. So, what do we want to do for next generation?
I don't care.
Scott, why don't you pick something
for TNG?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Do we want good or we want bad or what?
Just avoid season 1 and 2 because we've done both of those recently.
Okay, all right.
And don't pick anything that, you know, everybody already knows very well and is covered to death. Like, you know.
Yeah, no best of both worlds.
Oh, no, no. How about, what's the one where Data made a daughter?
That could be fun.
I know the episode, I can't think of the title.
Well, that's fine. I can find it. But how about something like that?
That should be fine.
I can work with that.
Fort Max, Ken?
Yeah,
sure. Oh, they don't care.
The Offspring.
I haven't. Let me put it this way. The last time I've seen most TNG episodes that I've seen, I last saw when I was in preschool.
So when it was first airing, basically.
Yeah, because Dad was watching it.
Yeah, I was not aware I was doing a podcast with babies.
Yeah, we're old.
God, you guys are so young.
Look, I'm 31. I'm not as
I'm
young
30.
As those two.
I'm 30.
28.
And Fort Max is 12. We've had this conversation before.
He's been 12 for the last 5 years. He has not aged.
No,
terrifying.
I was 8 when we first started.
Oh!
Well, then shouldn't you be 13 now?
There is a definitely good reason to watch this episode.
No Offspring, yeah.
Yeah. There's a famous scene in it.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Is it the Riker scene?
Nope. Well, it probably is a Riker scene, but...
we'll get to it. We'll absolutely cover it.
You can spoil it if you look at the Wikipedia entry for it.
Oh, yeah.
Under
trivia. Well, like, yeah.
Or notes, Wiki but... or Memory Alpha?
Wiki.
Let's see.
I could just link to it, I guess, I suppose.
Hey, you lazy bastard. Come on, do something for us.
Well, I'm on my way there already, so...
There you go.
Not good enough. Make
or I'll just do that.
Make him work.
Last note.
Oh, yes.
Ah. Yeah, because it has Data's reaction shot, which is pretty great.
So, it is in this episode that the internet meme of Jean-Luc Picard's double facepalm is visible.
Yes!
So he goes full double facepalm in this one.
And he holds it for a few seconds, too, and Data just kind of, like, peers down, like,
Are you trying to suffocate yourself? Captain. You're trying to pass out? You have to deal with this idiot?
Captain, are you done talking? Should I leave?
He just holds it for a few minutes and he starts snoring.
So, after I finished watching the motion picture today, I had to wash the taste out of my mouth.
With vodka.
You know, I'm gonna watch a Troy Mom episode.
What did you watch?
So I figured, yeah, that'll be fun. Those are always fun. So I just sort of picked the first one I stumbled across.
Oh, no. Did you watch the season 7 one?
No. I watched Half a Man. Or Half a Life.
Half a Life, yeah.
Yes.
That was depressing,
which
wasn't
is not
it?
A fun episode.
Yeah, I know.
Now,
I know.
I watched the taste out of my mouth with Tokyo Returns.
Same.
I'm going to go ahead and nominate that at some point on the Next Generation Week we need to do Menage a Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's anything with Lwaxana is going to be fun.
Well, that's the episode with the famous scene on the bridge at the end.
Oh, God, which...
Is it where she's nude?
No, that's earlier. No, it's where Picard has to threaten the Ferengi by professing his love.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, man, say what you want, but Patrick Stewart's such a fantastic actor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Because now that we kind of know more about Patrick Stewart, he's like actually this really weird, foppish, tee-hee kind of guy. Seeing him as Picard now is like, whoa, that dude was acting this whole time. He wasn't just some hard-ass, badass, serious guy. He's actually a goofball.
Yeah.
Because you watch like the outtake videos and stuff, and he's like, oh my, oh me, you know, he's all like prancing around the bridge and everything.
This is the serious actor.
Yeah. But he just switches it on and becomes his character, and it's so cool to see.
Acting.
Patrick Stewart's pretty great. Right,
you know,
so The Offspring
great.
Next week.
Sleep. Sleep is great.
Yes, it is.
All right, so I guess that'll be it for the show this week.
Yep.
Hooray.
Congratulations to everybody who made it through this without falling asleep or getting sick of it and going to do something else.
One of us didn't.
Damn it, Ken.
And you can vote on who it was.
We can. We've done democracy for that before. All in favor of it being Ken who didn't pay attention the whole way through?
I. Yeah. I.
All opposed?
No, I think it's unanimous.
Me too.
I agree.